Morning, everyone. Tuesday, November 29, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you, however, and wherever you are listening. And he's back. Loz is back after his little trip across the Tasman. Morning, Loz.
Morning, fellas. How are we all?
Outstanding. Did you manage to find a place? I suppose it would have been pretty late over there to see the Socceroos on Saturday evening.
No, I didn't. I actually watched it the next day. I didn't see it that night, but had a stunning result, didn't they, the Socceroos? And watching it, I just felt so proud. I felt so proud of the players, how they stuck at their task. At the end of the game, they were out on their feet. Tunisia were coming at them, but they just kept withholding them. And just to see the joy and jubilation at the end of that game by all the players and the coach, Graham Arnold, I think it was great to see, and it sort of brought back a bit of Aussie pride. And I think they give themselves a real chance in their next game, even though it's going to be very difficult, but they certainly go in with a bit of confidence and a bit of belief and a lot of support, because I think a lot of people now are wanting them to do well and hopefully go on to the quarterfinal stage.
Less than 48 hours away from our final group game against Denmark. And Papa, as I say, good morning to you, mate. The Sydney Kings, their winning run on the road ended last night at 17. 94-88, they were beaten in Cairns by the Taipans, who came back from 8 down with less than 3 minutes left. So the Kings' road run ends. Morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, Mido, Loza, and morning to our listeners. Unfortunately, it had to happen at some stage, didn't it? You can't win every game you play, but what an amazing record away from home. Again, we talk about home ground advantage and playing in front of your home fans and, you know, protecting your home ground in all sports and making it hard for any team to come and play there. But the Kings, well, they've been the opposite. They've really enjoyed their travelling, and I don't know, maybe the team's together more and you're more focused when you're away, when you're on the road in the NBL than when you're back at home. But either way, I don't think they can complain. I think they're in a good position. They're playing great basketball, and I'm sure they'll find a way to get a win their next game.
On the eve of the first test of the summer, usually, yes. You know, so much anticipation. You love, you know, test eve, but it just doesn't have that feeling. But, you know, let's face it, we're playing tomorrow. We'll get into it when the test gets underway. But
I hope so. I am. I've got to say, you know, I'm worried for this summer of cricket. I feel like our World Cup campaign of 2020 wasn't as good as we would have liked. So that sort of just faded out from a fan's perspective. The 3 1 days against England weren't on free-to-air television, and England didn't really show up. So that's sort of gone by the by. And now what's normally the biggest part of the summer, the first test match, we're playing against a team that there's not much expectation there for them. You know, I hope some players stand up in this West Indies team. I hope we see they've got a couple of good young quicks. I hope we get to see them really fire up. And hopefully they can find a way with the bat to score some runs against this Australian attack. But yeah, I think nervous is the right word for me. I'm nervous how this certainly the start of this Australian test summer is going to go.
One thing I do love about the Perth test, Loz, is the timing of it for us over here on the East Coast. Perfect timing. And just nestle back and sit there with a glass of wine at night and watch the cricket.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the cricket season. Even though I think it could be over in a couple of days against West Indies. And it's interesting reading in the paper and Puppet have a better idea of how the pitch is going to unfold, but they're talking about leaving, you know, 10 mil of grass on there, and there's some talk about it, you know, being 37 degrees and cracks starting to appear. And what type of sort of wicket do you think we can expect, Pup? And well, if it is what they're predicting, whether it could be hooping around or cracking up, how's it going to play out?
Yeah, well, it's different Optus Stadium to the Wacker. The Wacker, I think, has its own reputation in regards to pace, bounce, and how it plays. Optus Stadium is a drop-in pitch, so I'm pretty sure they still grow the pitches at the Wacker, or they use that same grass, I'm pretty sure. So they're trying to produce as similar conditions as they can, but it's still not, you know, anytime it's a drop-in pitch, it is different to, I guess, the one that he's actually produced on the ground. So if they're thinking it's going to be 37 degrees, that's why they'll have to leave grass on it, because they won't want it to dry out too much. Yeah. And even if it doesn't crack, if they start it without grass, you'll see it'll become really dry and it'll crumble. So that's probably why they're thinking that. 10 mils is a lot. That's a lot of grass, which to me means day one is going to be very hard for batting. It doesn't guarantee swing, but it'll guarantee seam, which I think can be harder than facing swing bowling. So if they leave that much grass, both teams will consider bowling first. Well, certainly Australia will consider bowling first, I reckon, assuming that it might only go 3 days. But if they also think it's going to be 37 degrees consistently, you nearly want runs on the board, because if it does dry out and cracks start to open up, anything can happen. So, yeah, mate, I'm a little bit like everyone else. So I don't really know what to expect. I'd probably got to have a look at it first, but 10 mils is a lot of grass. So they must be expecting heat.
I remember, I think it was the 2013-14 Ashes pub. Admittedly, was at the Wacker. Yeah. But, you know, you're getting the same sunshine, aren't you, there at
the Wacker
Stadium.
Used to crack up really big. Like, you used to get, you get cracks. And again, generally it wasn't in the area where the ball pitched all the time. It could be down the stump line. It could be more on the leg side. But there were times you were out there batting and you could rest your bat in the crack and let go of your bat. Like, it just stand up in the crack on day four or day five at the Wacker. Because it does get so hot there. But look, that's traditional Wacker pitch. I don't know if Optus Stadium can produce that. But if it does, then, you know, you just got to deal with it. But I think a lot of the times it's mental more than actually ball hitting crack, deviating and getting you out. I can't think of too many occasions through my career when I was batting that, you know, that crack got you out. It was, a ball might have hit the crack, you watch it, you know, move a meter and you go, oh my God, what just happened there? And then the next one, you're a little bit hesitant, you don't quite get to the pitch of the ball, you hold back a bit and you nick it, but it actually doesn't move, doesn't do anything. It's the mental side of what you see in front of you, and then if a ball does hit the crack and goes by, how you deal with letting that go and just concentrating on the ball that's being bowled.
But because of that hot weather that, you know, they're anticipating, up to 10 mils of grass.
Yeah, it's a lot. If I remember correctly, I think they used to leave 6 mils. Mm. I remember talking to SCG curator, Adelaide Oval curator, because I remember Adelaide Oval when I played was generally as good for batting as possible. And it was the type of wicket that started good but deteriorated, and then spin and reverse swing was massive. And then when they changed that pitch and it became a drop-in pitch, they were trying to do the same, but they couldn't do it. So now they've changed their style of play at Adelaide and they leave more grass on. So when they first started that drop-in wicket, I think it went to 7 or 8 mils and they were trying to work out the balance. But generally around that 6 mils is what I was accustomed to seeing at the start of a test match. So 10 seems like a lot. But again, you'd like to think on a drop-in wicket, I don't know, it might be different to, like I say, the old Wacker pitch. But they'll know, they've played enough cricket there. Western Australia Cricket Association will not want this game over in 2 or 3 days. They'll want it to go longer than that, and they will be talking to Optus Stadium to try and produce a good cricket wicket.
Mitch from Robertson on the text line. Hey, boys, am I the only one that is pumped for the cricket? I can't wait for the test. I'll be watching as much as I can and hoping I can drive up for a day at the New Year's test. After the 12 months we've had weather-wise, bring on summer, says Mitch from Robertson, who is a tragic. Mitch, good on you, Mitch. The class half-full
approach. We need more
approach.
Of that, yes.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Bring it on. The market with Tab for the first test, as you can imagine, the West Indies are very, very long odds to get a result out of this one. Australia are $1.14, and the Windies $10 to cause what would be a shock. And the draw paying $8.50. The Windies actually beat England at home earlier this year. But different kettle of fish playing in the Caribbean than playing, obviously.
Let me tell you right now, if Australia loses this series,
could you imagine?
World War V will break out. Matt, I might get a chance. I might get called back to play. Hey, Australia is not losing this series.
Listen,
I take that back. I'm not getting called back for anything, let me tell you. Australia will not lose this series. They will not lose a test match. They can't. All they need to do is have the right attitude, which I'm pretty sure they will. I think the players know where they sit. They know, you know, they've got to play a good brand of cricket, entertaining cricket. They've got to beat the West Indies convincingly. And you're not preparing for what comes next. But in the back of their minds, you know, South Africa, I think, will be much tougher and should be much tougher than the West Indies. So batters will want to be informed going into that series. Bowlers will want to be taking wickets. And you still, every test you play, you're fighting for selection. There's someone that wants your spot that's not in that 11. Only 11 players get picked. So the individual will still want to perform. There's no doubt about it. And, mate, especially if you're going to get a wicket that's got 10 mils of grass on it, it's the bowlers can still bowl a good ball. So the batters have to be on. There's no doubt about it.
Kemar Roach still going around?
He's still there. Yeah. Roach,
he's still got that chain.
He certainly does. That big thing, gold thing around his neck. Jeez. Mate, imagine how heavy it is. Great fella, Kemar Roach. Awesome fella. Used to be lightning in his day. He could bowl 150 Ks. Yeah. Good fast bouncer because he's only short. Quite skiddy, so it's hard to pick up his bouncer. But yeah, I think he's lost a bit of pace now. But still, accurate. Like I say, if there's enough in the wicket, he angles the ball back into the right-hander, he could be tough enough.
I'm seeing, I see a Chandrapur.
Yeah, this is Chandrapur's. I think it's his son or nephew. His son. Left-hand batter. Look, mate, he looks exactly the same.
Unbelievable.
Same technique, same stance.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same, Loz. He just made 100, I think, against the PM's 11. Good player. Talented young player. Spoke to Brian Lara about him the other day, actually. And he's a baby. Yeah, he hasn't played a test match yet. So hopefully he gets the chance to make his debut and hopefully goes on and has half the career his dad did because his dad was a genius.
Because that was one of the most unique batting styles in world cricket, wasn't it?
Certainly was.
Very open.
He made it work, Shivy. And Chandrapur, I think, record-wise, statistic-wise, is the second leading run scorer for the West Indies of all time behind Brian Lara. So he was that good, Chandrapur. Good, yeah. I know he didn't stand out like Viv Richards or Brian Lara or Richie Richardson, but in regards to performances, mate, he was unbelievable. And all around the world. Scored big hundreds against Australia, in Australia. You know, did well in India against India. Amazing record, Shivy. England scored a lot of runs in England. Brilliant player.
Yeah, you're right. He finished just behind Brian Lara.
Mate, it was nearly
34 matches more than Lara.
But there was nearly an argument. When he got dropped, a lot of people think in the West Indies that he got dropped so he couldn't beat Brian Lara's record. That the selectors said, nah, you cannot beat Brian Lara's record, and they dropped him. Him and Brian are very good mates, get on very well, but it's only a matter of, it's a handful of runs.
45 runs.
There you go, 45 runs, yeah. So, it's unbelievable how good a player he was.
You would have him in the same class as Brian Lara.
Well,
I know his record.
Yeah,
he had a wonderful career, but when you
he didn't look as good as Brian. Brian's my favourite player. Yeah. My favourite all-time player. I love the way he played. I loved his style. I thought he was great against the quicks and the spinners. Yeah, so I probably wouldn't, but, mate, his record is phenomenal.
Oh, look at these names. This is West Indies' top six or seven most run scorers of all time. Lara, Chandrapur, Richards, Sobers, Greenidge, Lloyd, Haynes, and then Chris Gayle.
Unbelievable.
You know, Gayle only played 103 tests. Only 103 tests. Yeah. But I'm looking compared
to... Well, he's still playing, Gayle.
I'm looking compared to Chandrapur. Yeah. Imagine how many runs he would have made. Yeah, Chandrapur had 164 tests. Yeah, only, please.
Oh, no. 100 tests.
Only because I saw him. I saw him doing...
Mate, he's still playing. He played in some charity game or token game the other day. He got 90.
Yeah. He's dancing as he's warming up.
I think he was playing in the... Like, I think Chris is 43 or 44. I think he's still playing in like the T10 league, the 10 over league in the UAE or something like that. So
he'll hang around to the 5 over league comes too.
Yeah, and he'll probably dominate that. He'll find a way to make 100 in 5 overs.
Tell you what, fellas, it's interesting going through the papers today, and you only have to look at them to realise how important it is to have the Socceroos at the World Cup. In the Telegraph today, there's not a rugby league story. That would be the first time, I think, this year.
Ever.
And there is Socceroos everywhere.
Great.
How good does that... I mean, that is fantastic for the game. I mean, obviously, it's the quietest time in the year, rugby league-wise. We've just finished the longest season ever having a World Cup.
Yeah, the footy's allowed to have a week off.
If we're not at the... If the Socceroos aren't at the World Cup...
Well, no, then we'd be talking about cricket. What do you mean, mate?
Yeah,
this is what normally happens. Footy season finishes and you go into cricket season.
But here we
thank
are
God we got the Soccer World
thank
Cup.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Because we're going into a cricket series that we're mildly interested in. We've got, obviously, the downtime in league. And if the Socceroos aren't at the World Cup, there's not much doing.
There's so much sport going on. We would have found something. But I agree. I think it's awesome. Been... How positive has it been?
So good. So yeah. Back page of the Daily Telegraph, Kuehl Runnings is the headline. Legend backs Arnie's underdogs to eclipse this golden generation. So Harry Kuehl over there commentating for SBS. And he's telling the Telegraph here and Code Sports, well, this is a good crop of players that could surpass the 2006 group, as a lot of our players should be peaking at the next World Cup in 2026. On Denmark, Kuehl says, if we don't win the midfield battle, we have no chance of winning. And it's put to Kuehl in this article as well, whether he'd like the Socceroos job one day. And he just goes, why not?
Yeah,
has a romantic notion about it, doesn't it? Harry Kuehl coaching the Socceroos.
He's coaching. He's into coaching. So why wouldn't he want to do that? So, fair play. I think it's great. They've got, obviously, Harry's over there commentating, but you've seen he's been around the team. They've got Timmy Cahill's over there. So, to me, I think they've done this well. I think Graham Arnold deserves a lot of credit
for actually
pulling a lot of the past great players back and getting them involved and, you know, even making them feel a part of it or getting their advice or allowing their experience to be passed on to this new team. So I think that's what all smart coaches do. Mm. You know, you've got people that have been in their shoes, stood in their place. Then why would you not use that? It's for the youngsters. Imagine Tim Cahill walking into the change room and being able to ask him whatever you want. That's what you want.
By the way, this game, Mossy's at this game. We're going to speak to him later this morning. Portugal up against Uruguay. Uruguay, our nemesis, of course. But Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo, $1.90 favourites with tab. Uruguay, $4.20. The draw, $3.50. And this match is about to kick off. Isn't it funny, though, Loz, like last week after the France game? The mood was, let's face it, downcast. And there we have... Barely 4 days later, a win over Tunisia, and we're comparing them to 2006.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, look, I think realistically, regardless of this, whether it's this side or any other Australian side, we wouldn't have expected to beat France in a World Cup.
No.
So you can put that 2006 team against this team, and they still wouldn't have been against the French team, and they wouldn't have been expected to win. But they turned up, recovered from that loss, beat Tunisia, and are now in the situation where we all hoped that they would be. So I think they've done a remarkable job with all the criticism that they've copped to be able to put that aside, continue to work hard, get the result that keeps them in the comp at the moment, and now they have to get a draw or win to go through to the next stage. I think they've done very, very well to get to where they are now, because a lot of people doubted them.
Back page of the Herald, Golden Regeneration is the headline there, and they're on the back page of the Australian, underdogs to be ruthless against Danes. And yeah, we are significant underdogs for this game too, by the way. Yeah.
But you know what happens if we lose? Arnie's gone. Get rid of them all.
We're back to where we were after the France game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I think Australian fans are absolutely stoked with what this team has achieved. I think, yeah, there's hope.
I think we're pretty realistic where we're at.
I think we are. But I think Arnie has now got the respect that he deserves. And I think no matter what, he will leave on his own accord. He will make that decision if he doesn't want to re-sign. Sounds like he's not going to want to re-sign. But I don't think that's the case now. I think the France game, they copped their stick, and we took for granted that we'd qualified for a World Cup and how special that was. But I think to win the other day, I think all Australian fans are super proud of what they've achieved.
Definitely. Remember, we've won 3 games at a World Cup ever.
I agree. Mate, remember, Italy is not at this World Cup. Yeah. Italy, can you imagine that country? It's like India in cricket not making the Cricket World Cup. Can you imagine that?
Well, my Italian mate, Vinny Trippadino, he can barely watch any of it.
There you go. That's exactly right.
He's filthy.
We've done, they have done this country super proud, in my opinion. Yep.
Yeah, 2006 Japan, 2010 Serbia, and 2022 Tunisia. Our only ever wins at a World Cup. And on the game Thursday morning with Tab, 2 a.m., the Socceroos are $7. Denmark $1.50. The draw is paying $4.